Robert Mays was on the Athletic Football Show. He mentioned Za'Darius Smith, and there was a word in there that was maybe a spicy word for Anthony Lima, and it kind of stuck out to him. Let's hear Robert Mays from the Athletic Football Show last Wednesday. Hit it.
There's a reason that everybody who was paying attention to the league over the last month or so wanted this to happen, especially after the Aiden Hutchinson injury. I think it makes tons of sense for where the Lions are. Obviously, makes sense for where the Browns are as they hit a soft reset heading into next season.
Soft reset was something that it bothered you or stuck out to you or what?
Well, it's interesting, the term, because Robert Mays is pretty plugged in, I think. And when Robert Mays is talking about the Browns, absolutely, I pay attention because I know that he has pretty good relationship with the organization. When he said soft reset, I was like, yeah, that's something I probably could understand Andrew Berry and company saying, because they're certainly not going to ownership and saying we need to tear this down to the studs, because then I think at that point I think Jimmy would be like, well, why am I keeping you? What's the point? If we're tearing this down now and we're in the prime of Myles Garrett, and we've got other guys starting to fall out of their prime, like, well, what do I need you here for? What's the point? Why would I want to see you? Why would I want to have you and company oversee all this? So just the term reset, I think, is very interesting. Something me and you are going to have to use and cozy up
soft
to.
Soft reset.
And try to find out from leadership, like, what that means. What does that mean? Because I think a reset, a soft reset, I could make the argument that that is very risky.
Tell me, make the argument that it's risky.
Because I think that is a, we're going to have one foot in on this and one foot out. And that is something that when teams try to do that, that starts that kind of curve downwards over time. It means we're not going to tank. We're not going to be really bad for a year and then get right back up and try to get draft picks for 1 or 2 years and make a splash. We are going to try to ride this out. And teams that often try to ride that out, that begins the descent, which can take 4 years until you realize, oh, God, we got to just tear it down.
You have to ask yourself this question, because I think that to that level, you're right, Anthony, that fans, if you're going to be bad, you want it to mean something. You know, this is why we do. This is why people follow Tankathon. This is why we did what we did back in 2016 and 17 and everything like that. They want it to mean something. So if you're bad, like if you're bad next year, it's like, okay, well, we can go out and get Arch Manning, or we can go out and whatever. Like, you want it to be worth your time. I don't want my time wasted. However, I have to look at it and go, do you know in your heart of hearts, or are you just mad? Do you know in your heart of hearts that this is a bad football team? They're 2-7. Do you know that the pieces on this team are bad? Everybody else needs to ask themselves that, because you are at a fork in the road right now. And you can go one of two directions. You can either try to quote-unquote save this thing, which would be, all right, we can go get a rookie, or we can get a veteran quarterback. I don't think you're bringing back Deshaun Watson because you got to sell tickets, but that's another discussion for another day, and there are going to be plenty of days to do that. Or do you want to say, hey, you know what, these guys aren't good, Kenny. We got to move on from a lot of these guys, and let's get going on. Or you can also look at it and say, well, not just that, but these guys, maybe they were good, they're not good anymore, we got a little long in the tooth here, and now we have to be able to cut bait on that. So these are questions that you have to ask each other. There's two questions on one side, the one on the other. You got to figure out which route you want to take. Do you want a clean break with all of this? Or do you believe that this can be salvaged? Because there's part of me, I have to tell you, I cannot believe that a team, this wasn't some rotting from within, everything's on the surface type of football team. Joe Flacco did well last year. They still had to win with talent. They still had to win with teamwork. They still were able to do that. Okay, why aren't they able to do that this year? Why is MJ Emerson all of a sudden falling apart for a lot of folks? You know, why Denzel Ward has always had a history with injuries
Emerson's
there.
Statistically, somebody broke it down, is I think he was dead last in starting quarters
this year. It's been a rough year, obviously, for MJ. How did that happen? You know, why is that the case with that? Looking at the defensive line, looking at the linebackers, all right, is this something that we could work with here? Can Isaiah McGuire by the end of and that's grasping for straws, a fourth-round pick, but I got to be honest. Is Isaiah McGuire a guy who could play alongside the other end of Myles Garrett? Is Myles Garrett long for this area? Because remember, Joel Corey had written last week from CBS, it's more likely he gets an extension here than gets traded. So you have to make, I mean, people went from 2 weeks ago, all right, can we get a first rounder? Can we get two first rounders? To now, Joel Corey's like, no, it's more likely that he would be extended. So now I think fans need to make that decision. What do they believe that this team more is? Because I cannot believe all of a sudden they just turned into a pumpkin. Something stinks. Something has led them in a bad decision. I mean, bad direction. I've had my theories about it that I've bandied about all throughout this year. I think that the offense is confused. I think that the processing of the offense is confused. I don't know who ordered the code red about the offense. I have my suspicions, as do you. But I feel very, very agitated about taking a good football team and just putting it in a position to step through a bunch of landmines. So can this thing be salvaged?
Well, what level could it be salvaged
to as well?
Here's the thing, though. We're going to go into next year, and the quarterback thing is obviously going to be the elephant in the room, and it's going to be what we're all paying attention to. But talent-wise, I don't think anybody's going to be saying next year going into the season, maybe this is better. Maybe we should get off the, we're the most talented team in the NFL. There are people that said it going into this year. I didn't think we were nearly as talented as we were going into the season before. And part of that was because Nick Chubb wasn't healthy. And you knew you weren't going to start the year with Nick Chubb being healthy. Last year, you're going into the year going, we've got the best running back in the league. Yeah. Well, now we're not going to be saying that probably ever again. So given that and the fact that Wyatt Teller's age, Joel Bitonio's age, do you expect both of those guys to be back here next year? Probably not, right?
I expect one of those guys to be back. Wyatt Teller's only 29, I think.
Conklin and our tackle situation, we're not going to be going into next year saying we got the best offensive line in football. That's clear.
No.
So you've already got two major positions. Wide receiver, my guess is they're going to be looking for – I don't think they're going to be happy going into next year saying Jerry Jeudy's your number one, right? Because already now you are at a deficit when it comes to wide receivers compared to the other teams in the league.
But again, what are you going to do?
That's another position group. So you hear me. It's building. Martin Emerson, I just said, statistically, the worst starting corner in the NFL. Okay, that's another position group now you're worried about. And you've got Newsom. Is Newsom going to be on this team next year?
Well, it can't all be.
I'm working through it.
But Anthony, even if I look at it all,
the larger point is we're not saying this is a top talented team in the NFL going
into next
year,
right? This is a full-blown rebuild, not a reset.
Well, I'm saying that they are trying to straddle that line where they're like, we're loaded with talent. It's like, I don't know that you're loaded with talent anymore. You do not have the young talent that the other teams in the league, that the teams that are really excited
loaded
about
with talent.
Their talent. We are not there going into next season loaded the way we talent. Have in the last 4 years. We've said it for four straight years. We're not going to be saying it for five.
No, I'm not going to say that. But again, but you are also a person who has told me several times here over the last month that rebuilds don't need to take 5 years. Don't need to
totally
take
agree.
Technically eight
totally
years
agree.
The way it is.
You just have to decide when your rebuild is. And if they're punting, if they're saying we are going to kick that can a full year down the road, I'm telling you, That descent starts. It seems like it has started. And if you are oblivious to it or you're delusional about it, it just extends that window of the descent.
So, but
should they speed up that descent is really the question.
All right.
I think it's almost riskier to do what they're going to try to pull off because I think they're going to try to save jobs. And when you try to do that, you just prolong the inevitable.
Well, then it's going to be up to the owner to pull the ripcord on the thing right. And figure out what they're supposed to do. 216-474-0092. Do you believe that this is a reset or do you believe that this is a rebuild? I think they have no choice but to try to reset. Considering the contracts that they have, you could try to liquidate all
so
you can.
So what does that mean? When you say considering the contracts, because I've seen
You got guys here that even if you were to cut them, you'd have dead cap for many years. So it's like, well, I might as well let the guy play. Like when it comes to Myles Garrett, like you bring up Myles Garrett. Okay, well, Myles Garrett would still have a significant cap hit, according to what Daryl tells me. You know, Amari Cooper, I guess you're still going to be paying on that bill for a couple of years. So if I have those guys, and Amari Cooper's gone, if I have Myles, all right, let's see what we can rework a contract here, and let's see if we can get him an extension. He seems to like it here. So can he be a high-level player here for the next couple of years? I imagine so. We will get a law of diminishing returns at some point here. But already he has, sneakily, because the Browns have been so bad, still been one of the best defensive ends in the NFL. That's not just me saying it. That is Robert Mays and all the other ones saying it. Bill Barnwell and so and so. So do I have to rebuild it? I don't know if I have a choice to rebuild it. Because
when you're talking about high-priced veterans playing on bad football teams, what does that do? It invariably it gets in the way of younger talented players.
But if I don't
of course,
have,
we've wondered, do the Browns have a slew of young talented players?
And that
they have not drafted well.
And that is the question, because we haven't been able to draft too terribly well, because we haven't had the picks, because we gave up three of the first rounders for a quarterback that's a derelict on the field. So I can't make that use of it. So it comes down to, again, whether or not you have trust in Andrew Berry. Because I'm telling you right now, you could let go of Andrew Berry. If you were an incoming general manager, an incoming general manager could go, oh, hold on. Do we need to get rid of all these guys? I know we're used to every GM coming here and trying to reinvent the wheel, but do we need to get rid of all these players? Or, hey, there's some players that we are going to have to separate from. Or are there players that we are going to be able to work with over time?
So I think an incoming GM, the first thing they do is get rid of the high-priced veterans to get draft picks. They would want the stabs at the draft.
But is it going to be worth it considering the hits that I'm going to take against my cap? Because I have to get my own clock started here. That's why, again, I still feel that you were going to take a quarterback for a multitude of reasons in the first round. So it's not going to be done in this coming year, but do I get closer to the end of the contracts with some of these other people? Do I naturally be able to get myself back out of arrears when it comes to my draft picks? Can I draft well, and then can I do this without having to go 2-15? Can I do this after this year? Can I do this without having to have a succession of terrible seasons like we've had in the past? I think, and it's tough, I think they can. But I think they've already proven already that a rebuild is almost in every way is just as difficult. Why did he have to say it? Why couldn't Jed Will have said that today? Or why couldn't he have said that tomorrow?
Honestly, it'll be perfect. It'll be perfect for somebody like Rodney, who has told us off the air about, you know, the injuries over the years, the stuff that adds up. And it'll be great to get his perspective on, you know, somebody like Jed saying that. Look, Jed offered it up. He offered it up. He was.
I know.
I think he was probably trying to do it in his mind. I think Jed was thinking, oh, I'm going to explain to people why I'm not playing well, why I've struggled this year. And instead, he said the worst thing an athlete in this day and age can say.
He said the worst thing you could possibly say. The absolute worst thing. I mean, Judas Priest, it's so bad. And some people, I did. I go, I can't believe he used the word and everything. He used the phrase and everything. He said business decision. Cavs talk coming up in about 8 minutes here, by the way, because they got to go for the gusto. If you have a chance to make this history, you can. I know that some people are a little bit worried about some one thing in particular. Hard to be worried about anything when you're 12-0, but there's one subtle point in particular that I think a lot of people are starting to think about in the back of their heads here. But when he uses the term, when Jed Williams uses the term business decision, I mean, that is seen as a... That is a knock on anybody. I mean, Owen, you know this. I know this. Any high school coach out there knows this. You say that to your players. You say that. If a guy pulls up on a sideline or something, or if you just try to push a guy out of bounds or something, or you are avoiding contact, or you go up like, what are you going to do? You're going to go up and negotiate with him to try to make the tackle? Why are you making business decisions out here? See a lot of business decisions out here, and I'm getting damn sick and tired of. Like, that's what you say to people. It's a bad term. And for him to offer it up like that, well, buddy, what are you doing?
And you're looking for a contract. You know, that's the other part of it.
You can look all you want. You ain't going to find it after a comment like that. It's such a small group that people talk about. It's one of the worst things you could say about an offensive lineman. Because, again, I there will be more that could possibly be said at the end of the season, but I can tell you that I would imagine that there has to be some... I'll use the term resentment amongst his brethren when there is something like that said. And regardless of a reset or a rebuild, he's not going to be part of that. And that's one of the things, by the way, that people are going to use against the current general manager, that you have a fifth-year offensive tackle talking about a business decision. And some have tried to explain it as best they can. I would get that you might be a little bit ginger on an injury like that. You're a big person. Your legs being knocked out from underneath you, that can be difficult. But when I hear that term and you're 2-7, I'm going, man, this thing is circling right now, and it can get far, far worse. That's why I can't say, oh yeah, Kevin Stefanski's perfectly safe or Andrew Berry's perfect. No, you're only halfway through the year. This thing can get far worse. Or as some people thought, yeah, the train's already off the tracks. So the question becomes, when Robert Mays says, he says soft reset, that's a quote. You don't like that term. You think, hey, you're either in or you're out. You're doing one thing or the other. I still find it just so hard to believe that this team coming back if they have good quarterback play, if people had confidence in Deshaun Watson coming back, would they have been picked to be a 9-8 or 8-9 football team like so many people picked them to be? I mean, nobody was saying that they were going to be 2-7 to start the season, no. Anthony. Nobody said that. And so my thought is, if you had faith in it, because if you go out there and you draft a guy in the first round this year, there's automatically going to be more optimism for that guy than what you had going into this last year. So if you had faith in this quarterback, then what do you think that people would have been saying about this football team and their record going into the season? If they had, name it, if they had C.J. Stroud as quarterback, what do you think people would have been saying about this Cleveland Browns football team going into the season? You name the QB, and it probably would have been better. So it makes me pause and go, with that, with the dead cap, with all this, do I really want to just get rid of all these players?
I just wonder.
Do I really want to do that?
And this is my fear, that we are overrating our talent right now, and we've only been getting older. I mean, every year we're getting older, and especially what they did in the offseason. Like, if there's one thing we can all point to with Andrew Berry's offseason, is you got older. Does that look like the smartest thing to do when the teams in the Browns situations, they want to get younger? Got rookies in this league. They make an impact so much easier now than ever before, and all around the spectrum of players,
but
too.
My fear is that we throw the baby out with the bathwater this winter, get rid of all these guys, and then next late season, we're watching all these guys play well for these football teams again, like we have so many times in the past. Why couldn't we hold on to this guy when he's playing for a playoff team, or that guy, or that guy, or that guy? Like the one time when they had, what was it, the Falcons NFC Championship game, and they had a list of former Browns players as a graphic playing in the football game, in a playoff football game while we were sitting watching at home. You know, I don't want to go through all that again, because every time we get a new general manager...
No, but if they're not helping us, what good does it do to keep them here? Don't you want to find their replacements?
Because every general manager you get when you replace a GM, it's almost like I'm making an argument for Andrew Berry right now. Every general manager you get feels that they need to replace or need to reinvent the wheel. There has to be something there where you can do it over a course of time where, hey, you can still be a relatively competitive football team after this year. It's not always going to be sunshine, but there's going to be thought where, hey, if you think about it to the top of the draft, if you have a new person at the most important position, you're automatically going to have, or you should have, a little bit more faith in the way things are going to go. Because, man, all these guys, you bring in new general managers, now we got to do it my way. Well, we can't do it that guy's way, now we got to do it my way. And then you let these good players fall through the cracks.
I know, it's just, I think back to, and this is why I sit here and I wait to wonder, were we a little delusional? Think about how many players last year helped the Browns in December that weren't really a part of the nucleus. I mean, it was Kareem Hunt, it was Joe Flacco, it was your kicker, who I guess is part of your nucleus, but you know, he wasn't on the team to begin the year. Like, so many of these guys, Amari Cooper, who's no longer here, not even playing right now because he's injured with Buffalo. But those were the guys that were making all the big plays, and they're not even here right now. So who are the guys that we're really relying on to be a part, outside of Myles Garrett and Denzel? Who are those guys?
216-474-0092. Reset or rebuild? Tom and Menor, you're first up on the Fan.
Uncle Kenny, for the first time in our history together, and you know I love you, I absolutely categorically agree with Lima.
You call up and categorically agree with Lima at least once a week. What are you talking about in our first time in our history together?
You haven't let me on in over a month. Listen, I will go ahead and let you know, I love the rose-colored glasses. I love the way you're trying to look at it. But again, I think Lyman's dead on. You want to do the soft rebuild where we're going to go ahead and be bad for 4 or 5 years and not compete until we get to the promised land. I agree with Lima. You strip it down to the studs. You cut everybody that you're going to go ahead and cut. Because, again, what did it do to have Deshaun Watson on the team where he literally, not only is he costing you dead cap space, he's costing you a roster spot, a quarterback spot, and he's literally an eyesore to go ahead and take a look at. Number one.
So wait a minute. So I'm so mad at Deshaun Watson and his contract, which is an albatross in this sentence to Browns prison, that I'm just going to let all these other players go away, and so I'm going to let those contracts and Deshaun Watson's contract work against us, and then we're just going to have a bunch of pups play and go 2016 all over again. Might as well break out the old jerseys.
I'm so glad you happened to say that, because you said the same thing to me a couple months ago when you said, if Deshaun doesn't work out, we will be in Browns prison hell
yes.
for the next 3 years.
Yes.
And it's come to fruition. So we either fight it or we embrace it and we go ahead and move forward.
But I'm giving you an opportunity to be competitive at some point in the near future instead of not being competitive for at least 3 years.
You think if we go and hold on to him and all this dead cap space that we're actually going to be competitive?
I can't guarantee it, but I can guarantee you won't be competitive for about 3 years if you just liquidate all these players and you have his contract on your books.
But this is where I agree with Lima. I don't think the talent that we have is as good as we want to think it is. Again, if you look at last year and you look at this year, again, I don't want to go sound like a broken record, but we were printing Super Bowl tickets. We were that close and we were that sure. Everything's lined up in place. We got the most talent in the NFL. And look where it got us last year. Look where it got us even worse this year. We didn't have the talent. We don't have the talent we think we have. God bless Nick Chubb, Myles Garrett, Betonio, all of them. You got to put them on the blocks. And I don't even think you're going to get that much for them to begin with. But I'll tell you what, if you don't tear it down right now, we're going to be talking in 4 years. Hey, here comes another 7-10 season. Here comes another 8-9 season. I just think you got to go and come to reality, Uncle Kenny. Love you guys. Have a good day.
Thank you very much for the call. I feel that is unrealistic. I really do. But here we are at an impasse. John and Wadsworth, you're next up on the Fan. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Not terrible. Go ahead.
I completely disagree with that caller. I don't understand. I mean, let's really call it what we're calling it here. We're talking about drafting a quarterback next year. All of us know it. The whole world knows it. Go look at any mock draft, at least one that has a clue. And we have to keep these players because you need something around that quarterback. Otherwise, you're going to be doing exactly what you did all those other years. Like, oh, we got a first-round quarterback with nothing but crap around them. You keep these players and you build around that quarterback. If you want to get rid of them after you've got your quarterback, okay, fine. But Kevin Stefanski has proven in this offense that it works. We talked about how many 300-yard passing games there have been in the last 8 games or whatever without Deshaun Watson. So that offense works. You put that rookie in there with some talented players, and Stefanski doing what he does, that is a great foundation for a fresh start. Worry about getting rid of players later. You have to build around this quarterback that you're going to get.
If they take – John, thank you for the call.
Houston didn't really sit there and say, we have to have everything in place and then take the quarterback. They just took the quarterback, and then things took off. Washington, no, but they had McLaren, but outside of that, they had traded the big name. Remember, they traded names.
Nick Caserio had taken some guys that people were disagreeing on, and he was under fire by that fan base, and then they got C.J. Stroud and things were there. Like, there were still younger – they're younger. I'm not lying about that. But there were younger pieces in place, but there were still pieces in place that Nick Caserio felt that there were there. But if I get rid of all these players, and then where the owner's going to want a quarterback, and I put a young quarterback behind all these other players who are young and take it at a discount, I mean, I'm already setting up my young quarterback for failure.
I think we always say that, but the young quarterback,
take the young quarterback. I'm not going away from taking the young quarterback this year.
I
just don't want to set him up for failure.
That is the toughest question every time with these young quarterbacks, the nature versus nurture thing. But I think C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels proved that things change. The culture changes with the quarterback.
I think
their situations were considered dreadful. Coming into the year, Washington was considered one of our easy games. Last year, Houston was considered one of our easy games. Yeah. Why? They kicked our ass in the playoff last year. And this year, Washington kicked our ass.
Washington let Montez Sweat go.
This is what happens when these new quarterbacks come in, and if they're good.
Washington let Montez Sweat go. I think anybody would have let Chase Young go. But they held on to a lot of their Browns core
fans,
talent that
I think
they
Browns
had.
Fans would have been saying, don't trade those guys. We need a team around the quarterback. But that's the mistake.
That's not Browns fans. You're talking to me, okay? You're talking to me. I can't speak for general Browns fans out there. I just gave you the scenario of what Washington did. You just said Browns fans. You're talking to me. They still kept a lot of their core talent in Washington and put Jaden Daniels in
Houston
there.
Houston did a sell-off. They
liquidated. If you want another example here, look at what the hell's going on down in Carolina where that guy didn't even have a chance. I didn't even think it was that great, and you didn't either. But they sure as hell didn't make him have a good chance. They let go of Brian Burns for a song. Mm-hmm. They let go of other defensive players for a song. What'd they do? They signed Chuba Hubbard? mean, what's that going to do to help anything? So you can put a bunch of 20-year-olds around your rookie quarterback and see how that one's going to work, which we've done before, and we saw that one suck up the room. Or you can keep some of the guys that you are still locked into dead cap anyway and see what they can do with your football team, considering they weren't bad last year.
It just seems to me that the Browns are going to go with this one foot in, one foot out, and I think if anything, it's going to prolong mediocrity for the longest amount of time, as opposed to loading up, getting young players, getting draft picks. I would go with a new GM.
Do you or do you not believe? Okay, that's a different conversation, but we're only stuck with you or the general manager. I'm there. Do you or do you not believe that a good quarterback can elevate play?
Of course.
Is it easier to elevate veterans that we've seen play well before, or guys that are just going to be off the block because we liquidated all the assets, we've traded away all the players, and we have a bunch of rookies in there? I think the first part is going to be easier for him.
How are we getting that quarterback?
We're going to draft him here in this first round.
Okay, well, they did not do what they could to maximize their draft assets. They did not do that. They missed that opportunity.
That's already one strike against them. They were going to get fifth-round picks back?
That stuff is always used to move up. You haven't seen? That's what Philadelphia made a living doing over the years, bottling up those bottom draft picks. They are a testimonial for that.
To draft a quarterback?
You've been watching the same league I have. You know that.
Yeah, did they take Jalen Hurts in the first round in the top five? No, they took Jalen Hurts in the second round, and then they took all those other six round picks not to move up in the first round.
So you don't want extra. So you just said second round draft.
You don't want extra draft picks.
That doesn't matter
because you were going to get fifth and sixth round picks where you could let these guys go and get higher compensatory picks.
The other teams are giving you a blueprint, and you are rejecting it.
No, you're not listening to it because you know I have you trapped because I just told you about 2026 and how you can get higher compensatory picks.
You acted as if Washington and Houston weren't abysmal going into the seasons that they turned it around with their quarterback.
Honestly,
and you're telling me the Browns can't do that.
I don't know what to tell you other than maybe you just lost track of the sense that was being made there and you decided to cover up for you. You sound like me with you 5 years ago. It's terrible.
Sometimes you just need a fix.
FML, my life.
My life.
FML,
fix my life.
Kenny, what do we do?
Fixing life.
My life.
So we were off yesterday. We always get yelled at for being off on days that have nothing to do with us.
This is what I actually felt kind of weird about.
Same thing happened with Juneteenth last year. It's not us. If the corporate gives us a holiday,
yeah, we got to do it.
We take the holiday.
But
that's what we do.
Well, this was our first Veterans Day off.
Yes.
And so the first time it's always like, I'm sure we'll get more used to it as time, but like with Veterans Day, I was like, we're taking Veterans Day off?
Did you gather around the Veterans Day bush?
No, I did not. Right. I always said that, like, because Owen knows a lot of guys who,
were in the military with me. Well, yes, I know thousands.
You know what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
There were a lot of guys who go, yeah, I want to serve, but, and they give some so-and-so. And I'm like, no, I'm a sissy. I didn't serve. You guys all have bigger stones than I do. You served, and I thank you very much for it. And I'm like, take the day. You get the day off. Okay. It was a little just odd yesterday.
Yeah, that we would get the same perks of the people that actually...
We didn't get all the perks.
Than served. That's right. And that's what we're getting to. Because something very, very interesting happened yesterday. And I thought it was perfect for Owen, our veteran of the show, to explain to us how this actually works.
Yeah, so, you know, on Veterans Day, they have done for years, businesses, chain businesses and local businesses give veterans freebies, right? So I had a nice free meal yesterday at a chicken place. And I also went out and took advantage of my free haircut from Big Box Haircut Store, right? And it did not turn out as I had hoped.
You weren't happy with the haircut.
So
he was unsatisfied.
They massacred my boy, and my boy is me. They scalped me.
So what is the issue is?
I've been there 100 times. they keep the notes in there, and I get my normal two on the sides, give it a little thin trim on the top. Two on the sides, trim on the top. They went two on the sides, and they basically took it all off on top. And with as big as my beard has gotten now, bushy as it gets, it looks cool.
He just took his hat off. I thought it looked good.
I hate it.
You look fine.
You have freebies remorse.
It's way shorter than yours.
Ooh.
And I hate short on top. I've got a big bald spot on the back, and I'm trying to cover that up for as long as I can.
So you always wear the hat, though. Do you take it from front to back? You take it from side to side?
Oh, I go side. I go side to side. During COVID, I went front to back, and I just went back to side to side the last 8 months.
So have you ever received a bad haircut from Big Box Haircut Store?
Yes.
Then why do you go back?
That's where this was a different person.
Oh, yeah.
So normally when I go after the boys get out of school. I actually set it up. There's always a wait. Always a wait there of, like, you check in on the app and it's 45 minutes to an hour away.
Oh, God.
And so I will check in. The boys get home at 3 o'clock. I check in at 2 o'clock and we're ready to go when they walk through the door and I get them in the car and it's a mile away. So, no stoplights between us. And I go get it done. Yesterday, because I was out running errands and the kids were in school, it was the rare I took the day off and also no one was home. Usually it is, if I take the day off from here, it's because I'm doing something with the kids or it's break for them or whatever. So I went at noon, 1 o'clock, and it was a different crew of people than I usually see.
All right.
And I just went, well, it's a free one, and it's not hard to, on the sides, give her a little trim on top. And apparently that was misunderstood in the trim on top portion of the event. And now I feel like I'm too all over, and that's horrible for me.
You gotta go get it fixed somewhere else?
Well, I can't get it fixed. They cut too much off.
Oh, so they can't. Yeah,
unless,
they can't.
Unless I go with the Keith Britton down to the skin on the sides.
No.
Keith, I can't do that.
Keith is getting like... His is starting, like, it is like a shadow of where hair was. That's how tight his is.
What I need to know is, can I bitch about this? Can I be upset? Can I go back in and go, give me another free one to make it right?
I never do.
In 6 months.
I never do. I just never would go back, if I were you. If you've had other bad haircuts before there, I would never go back.
The girl who does my kid's hair is amazing. And, in fact, she walked in as this was, as the scalping was happening.
Well, she can do the kid's hair, then. You don't need to do your hair.
You're trying to knock it all out at once every time.
We've got limited time here, Ken. We are in a gym somewhere.
I'm just thinking, you wear your hat so much with us. Yeah. Do you wear it out when you're not here?
He was wearing it.
I do wear it most everywhere. When I work over at the field house, I don't wear it.
Okay.
If we go out to a nice dinner, I don't wear it. Or I'll wear my white one, which is my going out hat.
You got a going out hat.
Yeah, he's got the going out one.
They match my going out sweatpants.
Looks like Pete Rose walking around.
R.I.P. So this is a hard thing because they were doing something very nice and honorable.
Yes, and they have done it for years.
And you don't want to throw shade on that. It just seems like that individual
this was not the business's fault. It was the individual.
Yeah.
But can I even complain about them?
I think you could complain.
I
think you're doing the right thing by just saying, you know, it's not like you are dumping on their company like people do after when the airlines lose their luggage and they go on a tirade. You're not doing that.
If you tap me, I'll tell you.
Well, I would say I wouldn't, but I would just never go back. Like my barber's a Navy vet. Yeah, thank you for your service. And he cut my hair last week. I paid him full price for that. But
I'm sorry, he doesn't charge more. It's Veterans Day. Pay me more.
It's Veterans Week, so he's going to give you a free haircut.
It was last week. No. It's last week. I thanked him for the service and the haircut. That's what I thank him for. But no, I probably wouldn't say anything. I would just not go back. I'm sure there's other places that give you free haircuts on Veterans Day. Are there not?
There are.
This is the thing with
the big box places is
you don't know who you're getting
exactly
every time. Well, that is the problem.
That's the difference, and it's in our town. It's such a small town that those people have been there, especially the girl that does the kids' hair. She's been there for a decade. You know who you're getting there. You know, I just didn't get her.
I've always had somebody do it, a person I knew, and I just could not just, I can't believe, like, I'm sitting there with my sons, like, my kids are kids. I don't care about their hair. Not yet, anyway. But I sit there and I'm going, I can't believe just coming in here and getting a haircut by any willy-nilly person here. I just can't believe it. It's hair. It's a very important thing. So I'll give you credit for just playing the rolling of the dice of who cuts your hair, even if it's a freebie. I don't care. But no, I probably would just let it.
I did have some great chicken, though, afterwards.
At least the chicken was good. Did you take advantage of any of the other free stuff? There's plenty of free stuff.
Yeah, what else is there?
No, that's the problem with having the day off, is I had to muster up the let's get dressed and go out.
Oh, man.
If I would have worked yesterday, I would have gotten 50 things.
Oh, that's a good point.
Right. At least it's free and not just the discounts. The discounts, you end up spending money.
And then I did end up tipping. You know, you got to tip for that stuff still.
So. Rodney, 9 o'clock.
Maybe had a couple drinks with that chicken.
Right.